Many years ago, during a Knicks-Bullets playoff game, one of the Bullets players came up from behind the great Walt Frazier and punched him in the face. Strangely, the referee called a foul on Frazier, but Frazier didn't complain. His expression never changed. He simply called for the ball and put in 7 straight shots to win the game. It was an amazing display of productive anger. There are times when we would seem to be justified to retaliate when someone has hurt us.
When you and I are slapped with insults, when you and I are stabbed in the back, even by those closest to us, what's going to be our response?
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We tend to like an eye for an eye justice, but Jesus teaches something different that revolutionizes the way we should handle conflict. This week, Charles Tapp continues this series on the standards of Jesus and reveals a more powerful and loving response when someone has hurt us, with his message, "Actions speak louder than words."
Today, we continue our series, The Standards of Jesus, Reflections from the Sermon on the Mount. And I just want to recap part 4 for those of you who may not have been here. In part 4 of our series, The Root of Righteousness, we began to look at a section of the Sermon on the Mount that, till this very day, still continues to intrigue all who read it. Commonly referred to as the 6 antitheses of Jesus, here is where Jesus makes 6 statements, 6 very bold statements in relationship to the Torah and to the law given by Moses, where he appears to alter it, and in some cases, he appears to do away with it altogether. And in each of these antitheses, which means contrary or direct opposite, Jesus begins each statement with these words, "You have heard it said of old," and then he gives the law, but then he adds to that statement, "But I say unto you." And it is here where Jesus appears to challenge as well as to contradict the law that he just presented. But how can that be? Because earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 5, verses 17 to verse 20, Jesus makes a very bold statement when he says, "Listen, I know some of you think that I came to change the law or do away with the law." He says, "I didn't come to change it. I didn't come to alter it. I didn't come to eradicate it. I simply came to fulfill it." And by fulfill it, what Jesus meant by that was, I came to get at the essence of what God intended for this law to be and its purpose in the first place. In other words, Jesus could have said this, "I didn't come to uproot the law. I simply came to get at the root of the law, to get below the surface, to get to the very heart of what God intended in his law." And in part 4, we looked at the first of Jesus' antitheses, which include the 6th and 7th commandment. First, he dealt with the issue of murder. And here, Jesus makes a very clear statement when he says, "Some of you think that you have not committed murder because you haven't committed the actual act." But then he says, "But because of the anger that is dwelling in your hearts, you have already committed the sin of murder. You have already broken the law." And this is important because in their minds, one was righteous in one of two ways. First, you were considered righteous, according to them, the leaders of the day, if you kept meticulously the law. You kept everything, and sometimes you even went overboard. Secondly, you were thought to be considered righteous if you abstained from some kind of sinful or evil act. But what Jesus is saying here, You've sinned not because you've committed the act or not because you've abstained from the act, but Jesus says you've committed the sin of murder because the root of murder is already in your hearts. You know, I pray none of us has ever taken someone's life, but what have we done with our thoughts if people could read our minds? What about our words? How many times have we stabbed someone in the back with our words? We may not have committed the act of murder. We may not have stabbed anybody in the back physically, but how many times have we stabbed someone in the back? How many times have we betrayed someone's confidence? How many times have we betrayed someone's friendship? That's the root of murder. And Jesus says, don't think you're clear because you haven't committed the act, because we don't see any fruit, because the root is already in your heart. Then Jesus deals with the seventh commandment, where he deals with the issue of adultery. And Jesus goes on to say, listen, you have heard it said that you should not commit adultery, but now I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman and lusts after her has already committed adultery in his heart. Now, Jesus is dealing with the male here because men in those days dominated the culture. They dominated it sexually and they dominated it religiously. But don't be mistaken. Women can lust too. You don't need to say amen. Just let that go. Again, Jesus' focus goes beyond the act itself. But Jesus is dealing with the very root. He is dealing with the cause of lust. Lust being defined simply as being consumed with desire for something or someone. Lust is part of what we call the seven deadly sins, which also include pride, envy, gluttony, anger, greed, and sloth, sloth being lazy. But in each of these sins, there is the result of one's natural passions that was taken to the extreme. Let me show you what I mean by that. Gluttony is when you take your desire for food to the extreme. And let's just be honest, all of us have been gluttonous at times, have we not? All of us have eaten things we should not have eaten when we should not have eaten. But gluttony is when you take the desire to satisfy your physical appetite for food, but you take it to the extreme. Then the last deadly sin is slothful or lazy. All of us have the desire to rest, but when you are slothful, when you are lazy, you are on a perpetual rest. You know anybody like that? Never wanting to work. All they do is rest, rest, rest. I remember when Facebook first became popular before all the adults got on board, and now the young people are gone. But you can look at some of these young people's pages, especially the young adults, and I looked under their hobbies, and hobbies were like listening to music, going to restaurants, and mostly all of them had in their category of hobbies, sleep. How is sleep a hobby? The older I get, and please don't leave me by myself, those of you who are in your late 50s, 60s, and above, it is harder for me to get straight sleep at night. Is that your problem? You don't have that problem? Oh, I guess it's just me. Okay, I'm sorry. Young people, they can fall asleep like that and sleep for 8, 9, 10, 12 hours straight and still wake up tired. Somebody knows what I'm talking about this morning. You see, these are natural desires that we have, but when we take them to the extreme, that's what lust is. And although Jesus uses lust here in the context of adultery, lust, listen, lust is the root cause for each and every one of our sins. Look how James puts it in James chapter 1 as we read verses 13 and 14. And I want us to look at it this morning from the Amplified version of the Bible. James chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Look at what it says. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted from God. For God is incapable of being tempted by what is evil, and he himself does what? Tempts no one. Now look at verse 14. This is in the Amplified. But every person who is what? Tempted when he is drawn away, enticed, and baited by his own evil desire, meaning our evil lusts and passions. So when you and I sin, listen to me, it's not because some outside force made us sin. It's because we made a conscious decision to give in to our lustful desires, whether it be lust of the flesh, the pride of life, whatever the situation is. Lust is the foundation for every sin you and I commit. We can't blame it on the enemy. We can't blame it on anyone other than ourselves. And here's the thing about having the root of lust in our hearts. When something takes root, the very next step is that it is going to give and bear fruit. As the Apostle Paul reminds us in his book, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, he says, don't be fooled, don't be mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall also what? Reap. So if you've got lust in your heart, it will take root, it will ultimately manifest itself, and it will bear fruit. But now, let us move on to another section of the Sermon on the Mount. Also, part of the six antitheses of Jesus. Let us look at our scripture reading again, Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 42. Look at what it says. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for what? Tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, here he goes, seemingly contradicting the law again, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your what? Right cheek, turn the other to him what? Also. If anyone wants to sue you, take away your tunic, which is the undergarment, let him have your outer garment, your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, Jesus says, go with him too. Verse 42. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. I'm sure all of us are familiar with a well-known adage that said, actions speak louder than what? Than words. Meaning that a person's true attitude and true feelings most times come through one's deeds and not one's words. But what about it when it comes to Jesus? Because sometimes the actions on the part of Jesus, as you read the gospel, are very difficult to understand. For instance, when the disciples were at sea one night and they got caught in a storm on a boat and they thought they were going to lose their lives, there was Jesus in the midst of the boat, fast asleep, while the rest of the disciples are trying to save their very lives. What was that about? And if Jesus' actions are so difficult to comprehend and understand, then how much more are Jesus' words more challenging, more difficult to understand their meaning as well? Case in point, in Matthew 5, 38 and 39, we just read it. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. An eye for an eye. Tex talionis in the Latin, also known as the law of retaliation. In other words, where the punishment has to be equal to the crime. And Jesus here is making reference to a very fundamental principle in the Torah that I want us to look at this morning in three places, three passages, where he presents this, where it's presented in the Gospels, in the Old Testament, rather. Let's take a look at the first one in Exodus chapter 21, verses 23 to verse 25. But if anyone harm follows, then you shall give him what? Life for life. Eye for eye, tooth for hand for, and foot for foot. Verse 25. Burn for burn. Someone burns you, burn them back. Wound for wound. If someone wounds you, wound them back. Stripe for what? Stripe. Let's look at the second passage in Leviticus chapter 24, verses 19 and 20. If a man causes disfigurement of his neighbor, as he has done, so shall it be done to him. You think I'm making this up, don't you? You need to go read it for yourself. This is in Scripture. Look at verse 20. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he has caused disfigurement of a man, so shall it be done to him.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp, and his message, Actions Speak Louder Than Words. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
Jesus came here for you.
No matter what your skin color is.
Jesus came here for you if you're Republican, Democrat, neutral, don't know or don't care, or any political party.
Jesus came for the far left and the far right, or if you're somewhere in between.
Jesus came for the person who cut you off in traffic.
Jesus came for the homeless, the poor, the middle class, and the rich.
Jesus came for love.
Love.
Jesus came for you and for all his children.
We're here to remind you of that.
WGTS 91.9.
Always encouraging.
And 88.3 on the Eastern Shore.
This is Simple Truths for Life. And this week, Charles Tapp reveals a more powerful and loving response when someone hurts us that Jesus taught in his famous Sermon on the Mount. With his message, actions speak louder than words.
Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he has caused disfigurement of a man, so shall it be done to him. And the last passage in Deuteronomy, verse 19 and verse 21. Your eye shall not pity. That's important. Don't miss that. Your eye shall not pity. Life shall be for what? Life. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. And what is important in each of these passages, especially in Deuteronomy 19, 21, is that when it comes to the law of retaliation, justice is required. There is no option. Although punishment is supposed to be limited, you were required to seek justice. But it had to be equal justice. It had to be proportionate justice, proportionate to the crime that was committed. So if you stole my cell phone, and I know none of you would ever do anything like that. If I wanted to get back at you and I stole your car, is that equal? Not at all. In the Torah, it gave you the right to go an eye for an eye. Just make sure that it's proportionate. But I love what Mahatma Gandhi said in response to reading this. He said, listen, if the whole world followed an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, he said, everybody would be blind and toothless. And I truly believe that. But again, as with the previous antitheses, Jesus appears to contradict the law. But as I said earlier, his purpose was never to uproot the law. His purpose was to get at the essence, to get at the heart, to get at the very root of the law. So when Jesus says that we are to resist an evil person, the word that is used here is the word pornoros, which means one who does unjustly, someone who is unloving, in other words, someone that does not play by the rules. Please don't miss this. So instead of meeting the requirement of lawful retribution, Jesus admonishes those who want to be a citizen of the kingdom of God He gives them the right to extend love, the right to extend grace, and the right to extend forgiveness. And then he gives a few examples of this. He says, when someone slaps your right cheek, turn and let him have the other, meaning the left cheek. Many times in Scripture, especially with the words of Jesus, we read things and we just jump right over them. Sometimes things stick out at me and I have to pause and go, here's my home moment. Why did Jesus specify the right cheek? Why didn't he say, if someone slaps you on your left cheek? Or why didn't he just say, if someone slaps you on either cheek? Why did he choose the right cheek? I'm going to pick on our interim VP for spiritual life here at WU. Come on, Pastor Mark. I'm going to show you what I mean by this. He's the VP for spiritual life interim, but he's also resident guinea pig. Come over here, Pastor Mark. Turn this way so everybody can see you. You guys got this here? If someone slaps you on the right cheek and they are right-handed, then that means they have to give you a backhand. Here's the thing. If you slap someone during those times, it was considered a huge insult. And according to the Mishnah, the oral tradition of the law, you had to pay them 200 zuz. That's an ancient Jewish coin. But if you hit them with the backhand, it was even a greater insult. So now you owe them 400 zuz. But now, what if I'm left-handed? In order for me to hit him on the right cheek with my left hand, I now have to hit him with an open hand. And here's the thing in Jesus' culture. If you use your left hand to initiate any kind of action at all, it was viewed as being unclean, unholy, and it was an act that was taboo. Please don't miss this. It was the greatest insult you could give someone. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Let's give Pastor Mark a hand. He survived that. Some people read Jesus' words here when he says turn the other cheek as promoting the idea of passivity. But that's not what it is at all. Jesus is simply saying when someone insults you, because when they hit you with the cheek, they were not trying to physically harm you. It was an insult, like many of us are insulted today by words or deeds. I'll never forget when I was in college, I was my freshman year, I was on security. Don't ask me why they gave me that job. A freshman, little scrawny freshman coming in, they gave me the job of security. But they had a special part of the security force. It was called Campus Decorum Task Force. CDTF, Campus Decorum Task Force. And it was our job to walk around the campus and make sure that everyone was following the proper decorum. It gets worse, trust me. So one night, I'm walking my beat, and I see this couple in the corner engaged in activity that's against the rules. So I walk over to them, and I go, excuse me, I'm on Campus Decorum Task Force. You shouldn't be doing that. I'm going to ask that you kindly leave. Cease and desist. And I turn to walk away. And as I'm walking away, I hear a sound that is very familiar to me. It is the sound of someone preparing to spit. I'm hearing this sound, and then I heard the spittle land. Thank God it didn't land on me. But I instinctively turned. See, I grew up in St. Louis, okay? Eye for an eye, baby. Spit at me, I walked over to him. He looked down at me. I turned and walked away. Here's why I walked away. I was about 5'10", 145 pounds. This guy was about 6'3", 250 pounds. There was not going to be any retaliation that day. There wasn't going to be an eye for an eye. It was just an eye. It was a slap, and I walked away. Because sometimes, young people, you got to walk away in order to live another day. Sometimes you got to run away in order to live another day. Who says amen to that? There's no shame in my game now. Come on. So what is Jesus saying here? He isn't saying be passive when someone tries to do you physical harm. He's saying when someone insults you, whether through actions or through words, now that you are, please don't miss this, now that you are a citizen of the kingdom, what is going to be your response? Is it going to be an eye for an eye? A tooth for a tooth? And here's what I find interesting, and this is why I love when the Word of God all comes together. For when I read that and studied this week, here's what Jesus was doing. He was giving us another illustration of what it meant to have a righteousness that exceeded that of the scribes and Pharisees. Scribes and Pharisees, it was lawful for them. You hit me, I hit you. You're a citizen of the kingdom, you insult me, I love you. You see, here's the challenge with this whole sermon. And that's why I'm loving going through this during the week, and especially on Wednesday nights when we come together here at prayer gathering from 7 to 8. Jesus and his teaching literally turn the secular and the religious cultures of his day on their heads. And I would dare say today that if Jesus lived in our day, he would turn many of our religious traditions on their heads as well. He would uproot them because many of us think that we're righteous because of them. For he hung on the cross not because they hung him there. He hung on the cross in his own words. He says, no one can take my life. I give it away. And if this is a sermon about the citizens of the kingdom and the standards that Jesus has, here's the real takeaway. When you and I are slapped with insults, when you and I are stabbed in the back, even by those closest to us, what's going to be our response? Is it going to be a response that the kingdom of God is living within us? Or is it going to be a response that retaliates in kind, one who lives not by grace, but lives by the law? And if you live by the law, listen, you will die by the law. I want to be a member of the kingdom of God. For the disciples came and said, Jesus, tell us about this kingdom and when is it coming? And Jesus responded by saying, the kingdom of God is within you. And the only way you and I are ever going to be part of the kingdom of God when he comes is if we're already part of the kingdom of God now. So, do our actions as Christians, as disciples, really speak louder than words? And if so, what is the message we're sending those to the world who want to know Jesus?
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Actions Speak Louder Than Words. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on platforms like Apple Podcasts and now also on Spotify. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.org. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
Now that you're one of mine, there is no need for you to worry because I will always take care of you. Who says amen to that today?
Next week, Charles Tapp continues with the fifth part in this series, The Standards of Jesus, Reflections from the Sermon on the Mount, as he shares his message, Daily Devotion. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.
Jesus came here for you.
No matter what your skin color is.
Jesus came here for you if you're Republican, Democrat, neutral, don't know or don't care, or any political party.
Jesus came for the far left and the far right, or if you're somewhere in between.
Jesus came for the person who cut you off in traffic.
Jesus came for the homeless, the poor, the middle class, and the rich.
Jesus came for love.
Love.
Jesus came for you and for all his children.
We're here to remind you of that.
WGTS 91.9.
Always encouraging.
And 88.3 on the Eastern Shore.